You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
The Around the NFL podcast is not responsible for the downfall of your favorite team.
Take responsibility from the Chris Wessling podcast studio. It's Around the NFL. Dan Hans is here. Got the heroes. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. The Week 17 preview in bulk. What's up, guys?
I disagree with what Zumwalt said. I think you are responsible, Dan, for when bad things happen to the Dolphins. Like, why don't you like them? You know,
I love Dolphins fans. They are so mad at me all the time.
I feel like you go out of your way to even say, I understand the Dolphins fans.
Doesn't matter what I say.
We're talking about them. And it encourages them because
no matter what I say.
Yeah.
They're going to get mad.
Why be so offended? I
consume enough like media, you know, Twitter and podcasts and whatnot. I feel like I've heard this from many football analysts over the last 3 years. At some point, Dolphins fans are mad at them. So there's one thing that's the, you know, constant among this.
You know what might some analysts out there or hosts, you know what might get them to shut up about not believing in the Dolphins? Win a playoff game for the first time in 25 years. Let's start there.
That's a good starting point.
Win Sunday. In the game of the week. And
there you go. That's another one.
That would be a good one.
They just beat the Cowboys. I feel like bit of an acid test.
And I'll be like, but just wait till the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then they get all mad again. Oh, it's so unfair. Please. I'll tell you about unfair.
Good ball team. Good ball club.
How about four plays into week one? That's unfair.
That is the signature element of a country that has not faced war on its own soil in a long time, that we're spending time on that.
Hmm. Okay. Save it for the war podcast.
Well, sure.
Mark and no, Greg, I know you want to come in with something about World War II right now.
I know. Here we go. Three shows in a row.
Now
let's avoid the old hat trick.
Okay? Shout out Zone of Interest Hive out there. Great movie.
Gross.
Really sticks with you.
A hive?
I just heard from people that were like, oh yeah, that was incredible.
Great. Good. I'm so happy. Keep it up, Greg. Let's go for the ultimate streak. Let's go with the Joe DiMaggio Nazi streak on this.
You brought it up.
Did I, though?
Yes.
Welcome to Around the NFL, Week 17. We're going to get into the previews. And just a reminder, this is our Thursday tripleheader. We have what you're going to get here. We got later on tonight, Jets-Browns, Thursday Night Football with Greg and Chris Wessling's brother, Nick Wessling. How about that? And also, the Dreamatorium is alive on NFL Plus. Let's start, though. Oh, and by the way, stay tuned. We're going to get to the Russell Wilson situation and everything going on with the Broncos, a team that is trying to figure out a path forward. So a lot to get to, but let us start where we always start with the Island games. And Saturday night, December 30th, you know, it's that time of year. Saturday is a popular ground for NFL, and we got a good one because it is the Detroit Lions at 11-4 traveling to face the Cowboys, who have not lost at home this season. They're 7-0. And I'm trying to figure out, Greg, and we look at what's going on in the league right now. With 2 weeks to go, the AFC, the Ravens have a game in hand over the Dolphins for the first seed there. The bottom of the standings In terms of the wild card, it is very muddled in both conferences. San Francisco's stunning blowout loss on Christmas night has turned the NFC top of conference upside down, and it is the Detroit Lions who all of a sudden have something to play for in terms of the number one seed if things break a certain way. And the Cowboys, man, the Cowboys just need to get back to their winning ways.
Right, and the Cowboys can still hope for the Eagles to help them out. The NFC is very unlikely, but yeah, the Cowboys have something to prove to themselves. They're 5.5-point favorites here. Look, minus 218, not a lot of respect here on the money line for the Cowboys. Over under is 53.5, or not a lot of respect for the Lions, rather, because like the Lions are more consistent overall right now. Their defense isn't great, but their offense is fantastic, and I just want to see that matchup about the Cowboys run defense last in the league in success rate allowed against this Lions offensive line, which, you know, as I mentioned, when Frank Ragnow is there, especially in the interior, they're just tough. Gibbs can run inside. Montgomery can run inside. They're going to stay patient. They're healthy on the offensive line. And I just think teams are going to continue to try to run the ball down the Cowboys' throats until they prove they can stop it.
Yeah, why not? I mean, like, we asked after that Bills game if what James Cook accomplished against the Cowboys defense was a bit of a roadmap for future opponents. And until that's proven untrue, keep going for it. And like, that's Detroit's bread and butter. I think like we've talked about the fact that Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, a completely refashioned backfield, which felt like an odd offseason move for me for a Lions team that ran the ball well last year. It's completely worked out. Like, I would say David Montgomery, if I were to list the players that I was lowest on historically that changed my mind this season, David Montgomery would be near the top of that list. He's been really effective for them. Jahmyr Gibbs has been part of one of the best rookie classes by any team all year long. And we got a version of Detroit last week that, like, yeah, it came close to giving that game up. But I don't like this 5.5 points. I think that's a disrespectful to a Detroit team that, like, is going to give Dallas a fight.
I think it's like it may be factoring in a bit of a come down. They don't have as much to play for. Cowboys have been great at home.
Well, if the Lions win out, even shut out everything else, if they get no help at all and they win out, the Lions are the number two seed in the NFC, which is not nothing. I mean, you're one playoff win and one Niners upset loss from hosting the NFC title game potentially in your building. It's an interesting setup there for Detroit, and I am totally shaken about the Cowboys after these last 2 weeks, but also it was on the road. And I think what I do see and what I think the desert sees is the Cowboys playing at Jarrah World are a totally different team. And they are going to be playing with a level of confidence that you just don't see on the road. And they're just a more dynamic, effective team. In fact, they've been just not just winning at home this year, they're blowing out teams on the road at home. They have a plus 171 point differential in seven games this year. So as much as Detroit is a great story, and I think we're all rooting for them as a graduate of the team of ATL, do I think their defense is going to have answers on that turf in Dallas? No, I think the Cowboys are going to have a big week here.
One answer could be Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, though. And so if he returns, and sounds like there's a decent chance of it, him and Melifonwu, who's been a revelation last 2 weeks, okay, suddenly you got some movable players that can do a lot of different stuff at the safety position. I'm not expecting them to be a great defense, but neither of the Cowboys been. Last 5 weeks, EPA per play, these are the 24th and 25th defenses in the league. Mm. So Dan Quinn, you're probably getting a head coaching job this year. Like, let's see it. This Cowboys defense was supposed to be great. They've been good in parts. They're great when they have a lead and it's a certain sort of game script. These are two very even teams overall, sixth and seventh in the year in terms of total DVOA. I think the Cowboys just had one bad game. People are being a little hard on the Cowboys. Last week was two of the top seven or eight teams in the NFL, and they basically played to a draw, and they came out on the short end there on the road. And these are, again, two of the top seven or eight teams in the league, and I expect it to be close. So I'm with you. I like the 5.5 points for the Lions, but if the Cowboys, you know, struggle and they barely get this win, Tyron Smith's not practicing, like, I'm not going to be panicking about them.
Nor am I. Like, and I'm not panicking about what happened to Dallas against the Dolphins, to be honest. Like,
yeah, wait.
They got to win.
I was going to say, if the Cowboys are going into the last week of regular season on a three-game losing streak, please.
No, I'm with you. But I just mean last week didn't make me feel any differently other than their... Other than Tyron Smith might be a bit of a Jenga piece for them, and he is, might be out again.
Wait, why? Like, why does that make feel differently?
Because
they struggle to score, and they can't get a big stop, and they're giving up yards all over the place against a good team.
Here's why. Because Dolphins and Cowboys, to me, were pretty evenly matched going into that week, and I watched the game. I said, well, those are two even teams. So I just kind of felt the same.
I think it is. Yeah. It matters that Jonathan Hankins has not been available for Dallas. Like, he's kind of someone that you don't really talk about much or think about much. But he's like a linchpin in their run defense. And without him, they've been beaten up by Buffalo. They were beaten up on third down by Miami. The Cowboys since week 14 are one of the worst third down defenses in the league. I think that links to Jonathan Hankins. I think it links to their run defense. But I don't come out of that Dolphins game. I know where you're coming from, Dan. It's like if you're the Cowboys, you kind of need to change perception and go take some of these games. It's been a late season gauntlet for all of these heavyweights. And the Dallas schedule has been rough. Had they gone and been blown out the way they were against the Niners, I would just view them as complete frauds. That's not what happened.
They were blown out the week before, by the way.
They got to fix their pass rush.
But so they are. They're an up and down team, though.
But see, that's what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, we're moving.
Big day for Zaddy.
But we're moving the goalpost now on the Cowboys. So we went from 2 weeks ago, everyone saying this is a true Super Bowl contender. Look out, Eagles. Look out, world. Well, they hung with the Dolphins and they didn't come out on top.
I don't think everyone has seen them as a true Super Bowl contender, though.
Wait a second. Whoa.
Like, I think they're just in
listen
the,
to
in
every
that,
show on this podcast that, for in the
that,
last
like,
3 months.
They're in that group of five or six teams, and, like, they've got issues, and a lot of it is, like...
We're trying to win a chip here, okay?
Yeah.
Right. The Cowboys...
You gotta win this.
We're trying
Detroit's
to win...
the same way.
For the first time in, like, a quarter century, the Cowboys, the expectation, the demand here is to win multiple playoff games. So, I think they need to right the ship and prove, and this is a nice way to do it, against a very good Lions team at home... Do not lose this game.
Prove to themselves.
Yep.
Zaddy's got to show.
Don't
that
come close.
He's not.
Win.
It's not just the same old Zaddy. You know.
I got
you. Big week for your Zaddy.
Big test all around for Dallas.
Nobody's underdog.
Not this week. All right. Let's move to the other primetime island game on the schedule here. It is New Year's Eve night. It is in Minneapolis. It is the struggling, fading team of around the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings, welcoming in the Green Bay Packers. Interesting. this is a interesting kind of look at the state of the bottom of the NFC playoff picture, because at one point on this podcast we were high on both of these teams. There was a time where the Vikings were the team that was fun and sexy, and that's how they became the team of ATN. And then the Packers rose up, if you remember that Thanksgiving performance and the weeks that followed. We were all about them, and now we have 2-7-8 teams, and essentially, Mark, an elimination game.
Right, and I think that one of the reasons that we became, as we were searching for the team of ATL, which is not like, you're not looking for a powerhouse. You're looking for a story. You're looking for someone that you can kind of like become fascinated with. It had a lot to do with Josh Dobbs and like what he had done in multiple situations this season and what he did even last year. And now, right, you're in a situation where like you could see Josh Dobbs starting. You could see Jaren Hall starting. You could see Nick Mullins.
Like, I think we can rule out Josh Dobbs just because when the media was there, they did this song and dance of splitting the reps between Hall and Mullins.
Right, and we're at the point where we've hitched our wagon to a team that isn't a fair amount of chaos and hard to believe in, and that's okay. I don't have a huge problem with that. But so is Green Bay. I think like Minnesota came so close to upending the Lions a week ago, and like. If it were me, I would start Nick Mullins again. I know he made some critical mistakes, but he is super productive, and that's where I'd go with this because I think the Green Bay defense has become...
You said like, super destructive, right?
Well, he's destructive and productive. He's both.
Got him.
Nice job. Nice job there. I just feel like Nick Mullins, if anything, activated like their wide receiver group. And you don't have Jordan Addison right now, like, and TJ Hawkinson is out for the season. You're limited on what you can do. So it's like... Do you really put this in the hands of Jaren Hall? I guess so.
It is crazy. It's a fifth-round rookie. I kind of expect Jaren Hall to be the quarterback. It's bizarre to me. They're doing the thing where nobody seems to know. Like, Justin Jefferson spoke to the media and legitimately didn't seem like he could possibly be acting that he doesn't know. And when the media was there, which is just the early portion, it was like Mullins and Hall were getting the reps. To me, that's a sign it's probably Hall because... I don't know why
switch. Yeah.
Why go through all this? But we sort of, it got lost in the shuffle. Hawkinson's injury out for the season.
Killer.
Massive. DJ Wonnum is now out for the season and has been their second best defensive lineman, I would say, behind Danielle Hunter. Like, that's massive. Byron Murphy, their best cornerback at a position where nobody's playing well right now, has been out of practice. Addison might not be there. And it's just a bit of a mess. They have no more cornerbacks, and they're going against a really productive offense. I looked today, and I was like, man, this Packers offense feels like it's one of the better offenses in the league suddenly, Jordan Love and all his rookies. And it made me realize they have better numbers at basically every measurement you could come up with than the 2022 Aaron Rodgers Packers offensively right now. Not even just like, oh, the last 6 weeks. It's like, no, over the course of the season, that's how well they've played lately. So I think it's a toss-up. I like the Packers to win this game, but it does worry me that they suspended Jair Alexander.
Let's talk about
in
this.
In theory, this is their best cornerback. Why don't we start by listening to Jair Alexander?
Let's set the table.
Sure.
Jair Alexander is the cornerback of the Packers who is a Charlotte native who, before overtime of their Week 16 game against the Panthers, decides to take
before
it upon himself.
Before the game started.
Before overtime started, right? Before the game started, he comes out on the field, even though he's not a captain. Okay, so there's the first mistake, and he then called they win the coin toss. He calls, I think, tails. He says defense, and that what he was supposed to say was defer. So it became a situation where the officials really wanted to stick it to the Packers. This guy walked up on the field who wasn't the captain, who said the wrong thing once he called the coin toss. They could have given the Panthers the ball to start the game and to start the second half. Huge mistake. Luckily, the head coach of the Packers had spoken to the game official beforehand and had made it clear what he wanted, so they let him off the hook. Anyway, Alexander gets suspended this week ahead of a playoff game, which tells you how annoyed and over Jair Alexander they are with this guy, no matter how talented he is. Here was his explanation of this situation.
So were you supposed to be a captain? Because the team announces the three game captains and you were the fourth and you called the toss. What happened there?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, it's only suiting, you know. I don't think Coach knew I was from Charlotte, you know, so.
So you just did that on your own?
I mean, it was like a, you know, the guys backed me up, you know, so they knew I was from here.
Did you realize you almost made a big mistake on the call, though?
What'd I do?
That's my favorite part. And they proceed to walk him through kind of what happened.
See, now, Jair Alexander doesn't seem to have any idea what's going on at all in the world. I should have been walking out there. I'm from Charlotte. He didn't know that. Also, new drop. We need to clip it. Only suiting. Suiting.
I have to say that we've listened to probably 5,000 quotes from athletes on this show. And that has to be one of the most bizarre interactions to the point where, like, as a young 20-something, I got very into these, novels, historical novels by Carlos Castaneda, who, like, went down to Mexico and studied peyote and the effects of peyote on a human being. I was like, what is going on with Jair Alexander? It's like, is he okay?
Yeah. Well, that was immediately after the game, to put it in context. That wasn't during the week.
Yes.
So
before his suspension.
Unlikely. Yeah. Unlikely he was on peyote, although you never know. Jair Alexander is a character, and pretty much every time he talks, he leads you in a wonderful direction of surprise. And so it wasn't totally out of character. And I don't think they're suspending him just for this. And that's what Matt LaFleur said too.
Right. It feels like something else. Yeah.
It sounded like he actually had maybe gone out when he wasn't the captain before. Like, that's a crazy.
I'm not going down like ranting, grumpy sports writer territory to say this guy's the problem with the Packers. But for a defense that is, you know, free falling under Joe Barry, for him, it's just not a good look. He's also wearing sunglasses that maybe Britney Spears was wearing in 2003 or so during that interview. Just if you haven't seen it before.
Yeah.
So there's just I don't know. He seems kind of nuts.
He's also
maybe a nice guy.
He's not been available for them for big
chunks. He just returned from a massive injury and hasn't quite been himself. It reminds me a little bit of Packers Lions
first playoff game
last year. It's a chance for the Packers to show their growth, because I don't know if you guys remember the first Vikings-Packers game. That was the game afterwards where everyone started making the cut-ups about how the Packers offense is just a bunch of bumbling morons, basically, where with penalties and like 17 drops, and like people were playing the Benny Hill music, and it was pretty much the nadir of their season. It was mid-season, and now here they are, like rolling a bunch of rookies, a chance to show how much better they've gotten.
Big spot for Benny Hill.
I was gonna say, can we find? And I like this.
Yeah,
but I don't know the Benny Hill music. Can we find something new?
Yeah. That's fair.
When did that? What, Benny Hill was like 50 years old.
Well, it's like a
Thomas has all the Zard music references.
A pre Y2K offering that was a little edgy if you were a child watching it. Came from Britain.
You're from Britain.
Yeah, but I used to watch Benny Hill when I was like 7 or 8, which I don't think it's something I would throw to my children to watch.
I've never seen that. Yeah. Vikings, we have some breaking news. Are starting Jaren Hall.
All right.
Well, that's big time news.
Case closed.
This is why the host has to do it. We have some breaking news. Production pressure. It's moments.
This episode has issues.
Yeah, but when that's not fair. That's not fair.
We just came down from Madison behind the glass. The Vikings are starting the rookie, Greg Jaren Hall.
I think it's the way to go. He looked good on that one drive we saw.
Kevin O'Connell has been turned off by two quarterbacks at this point. Two capable.
Backup stink. And Nick Mullins is so frustrated because I could carve up this defense. Then maybe we'll see him. We might see both.
It's a little shocking, and I think it shows you that as much as the Vikings would like to make the playoffs and actually have a great chance to make the playoffs.
They have a 30% chance.
If they win out, they're in, essentially, though. If they win out, they're basically in. I think they're saying, as much as we want to do that, we don't know if that's going to happen or not. Like, we want to see what Jaren Hall can look like, too.
Sure.
And the advantage, if there is any advantage to Nick Mullins, it's not enough that we want to pass on seeing on Jaren
Mark, you could see him in the second half, potentially. You never know. Out hope.
It's one of these teams where you're going to probably see all of them all over. I mean, if there were more weeks to the season, thankfully only two more after the regular
season. And as much as it feels like it's over for the team of ATN, this has been a weird, weird year. Maybe the Vikings have a push.
Has this gone any better than the last time we picked the Vikings?
It has.
Well, for me, because I'm not culpable.
Yes, that was more of a disaster. I think we picked them at like 5-0, and they immediately lost.
Right.
Yeah, they tanked hard.
And Mark took it as a personal affront to him and was
cranky
for 7 months.
No, because
afterwards.
It's like nonstop text being like, well, I wasn't part of that vote. It's like, okay, fine.
In some ways, you're culpable for this, too, because you're a Josh Dobbs thing. But it's fine.
That is entirely not. You want to talk about glistening to previous tapes. Like, that's entirely untrue.
It was Dobbs that pushed it over the top, and he was your...
I won't listen. Greg, you have to back me on this. Like, what about evidence and fact?
Dobbs was the reason we picked the Vikings.
Yeah, but I'm not the reason we picked the Vikings.
Mostly Mark, in my opinion.
No, I find that to be annoying.
I know it is. All right, let's get to the draft. It is time now for the first overall pick, presented by DraftKings. And I will take this an easy one. The Miami Dolphins at the Baltimore Ravens. This is a early game. Interesting. Interesting time slot for the game, but it's, you know.
Unrewarding.
There's a lot of, you know what? I don't mind it. How about a hammer drop early game? We don't have many of those, so it's a nice little change of pace.
In theory, they could have flexed out Bengals Chiefs, which would have been nice. But a week ago, I get why they didn't do that.
God forbid we don't have Tony Romo talking about Patrick Mahomes for another 4.5 hours.
The Ravens are given 3 points here. And a good spotlight here for Ian Eagle and our guy, Charles Davis, with Evan Washburn looking impeccable on the sideline. So, good matchup here. Great matchup. And at this point, it is hard to look at the Ravens and say they're not going to win a big game because they've done it over and over and over. And, you know, coming off the way they played against the 49ers, I guess they seg into a different place now, Greg, because now they are no longer going to be the team, I don't think, that is putting up win after win after win, but is kind of seen as a little lesser than. Now you're the big boys, and you heard Lamar talked about it this week that, you know, we're still the underdogs, but they're not. They're very much the favorite, and I think at least in the AFC, and the Dolphins have a chance here, and Dolphins fans, listen up. Like, if you want to shut up people who you think hate your team like me, which I don't really hate them, but if you want to shut people like us up, wow, you have a chance to wrap up your division and stun the Ravens coming off the Niners win. It's a nice setup for Miami to make a true statement.
Right, and try to get that one seed for themselves. And they're not viewed, you know, in the desert by as big underdogs. It's only a 3-point line, which is pretty interesting in Baltimore. -180 money line. The over-under is 47. I am surprised by that, but I think rest is part of it. They're coming back from the West Coast, a little rest stop action on a short week, a huge win. Dolphins have that extra day of rest and everything. But to see these teams as equal, I think is surprising because, yes, they're trying to build this underdog mentality where, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's like, but according to the numbers, like DVOA, for instance, has had the 49ers and the Ravens as two of the best 20 teams of the last 25 years, basically the whole season. Now the Ravens are actually ahead on top of the rankings. Like both of them have been elite, elite teams, 49ers, Ravens, and pretty far away from the rest of the NFL, including the Miami Dolphins. I do wonder if it's an advantage or a disadvantage for Mike McDaniel to look at that 49ers tape. And yes, the Dolphins and 49ers do things quite differently in terms of how they win, how their quarterbacks win offensively. But essentially, here's the offense that we're most similar to, the coach I'm most similar to. Here's what the Ravens did with their disguised coverages and everything and winning physical matchups against them. How can I adjust what the 49ers did poorly and make it work for me?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. Where it's like, yes, you can't just say what Mike McDaniel is doing is the same as Kyle Shanahan, but there are a lot of roots and shared DNA there. This game to me boils down to availability. I think it's very impactful that Kyle Hamilton has not been practicing this week. I think he has been a huge piece of what Baltimore's done on defense. Patrick Queen is banged up. Roquan Smith is banged up. Zay Flowers did not practice on Wednesday. For the Dolphins, Jaylen Waddle did not practice today on Thursday.
That's a high ankle sprain.
Right, and they're calling it not overly severe, yeah. So it's like there's a chance he plays, but what version do you get? Tyreek Hill is practicing today on Thursday. Devon Achane is practicing today. It's like the Dolphins, like Teron Armstead has like 82 injuries. It's like their injury list has just been wild, and so it's like I think this is such an intriguing matchup, but it really comes down to who is on the field and what percentage of health they have.
I thought this was really interesting. You know, we played it on the last show, but I want to play it again here because it wasn't hard to decode which teams Patrick Queen was talking about when in the aftermath of the Niners' victory, he pointed out what makes the Ravens different.
We play a brand of football that people don't want to play. Everybody want to be out here cute playing basketball on grass and stuff, and we ain't with all that. So you could do all that stuff, you just going to get hit in the mouth every play, honestly. You know, we could care less about all the pretty stuff you do, gimmick stuff. You just got to line up. You still got to line up, play football. You still got to get touched, so... that's our mindset. That's how we want to come out and just, you know, hit people in the mouth.
And that is what's going to happen with the Baltimore Ravens, who are going to take it to the Dolphins, humble their fans. I'm locking up the Baltimore Ravens in this game. I think they're a perfect matchup. As good as the Dolphins season has been, I think this is a bad matchup for them. And I think the Ravens are going to bully this offense and come away with another resounding win.
I think like what Patrick Queen said also bakes into the, like the Lamar Jackson MVP conversation, where it's like his numbers don't blow you away, but you can't question his value. Like I was looking at Nick Shook's QB index, and he has and tell me if you agree with this: number one Tua, number two Lamar, three Dak Prescott.
Wait, he has Tua number one in QB index? Yeah.
I wouldn't have Tua top five.
Really, I don't know about that. You'd have to move Josh Allen or Matthew Stafford out of there, or Jalen Hurts comes at six. But like to me, it's like
wow.
Like Lamar is not. It's a weird year for MVP, obviously, with the quarterbacks. Like I would just go Christian McCaffrey at this point. But like you can argue that Lamar, like figures and stats wise, isn't that guy, but he is based on everything that he's done over the last 10 or 11 weeks. And it's like, we're getting these schedules. And that's why I don't like this, is that this is baked into like a 10 games happening, you know, early in the day in Los Angeles, is that like, this is another one of these MVP showdown games. We're getting them week after week. And like, we're reacting off of what we saw literally 24 hours ago. And the vote keeps changing.
You know what? Now that Mahomes has taken a step back, I probably would have it Allen. If like I was doing QB, I'd probably have it like Allen, Lamar, either one or two. Those two, Dak,
and then I would have Allen.
Stafford and Purdy, 4 and 5, probably. But Tua might be in there. They're all close.
I know it's tough. You don't think Tua's top five?
I just said he's either 5 or 6. So, yeah. But who is he? Out of those, I think it's all close. I mean, Stafford, I think, is in that mix. I think Purdy is in that mix.
He's got Baker Mayfield, number eight.
And I think Dak's been amazing. That's a big drop from the top six. That is wild. I am a little worried about this matchup as someone who's locked up the Ravens five times and definitely rooting for them. Because, number one, where's the weakness in the Baltimore defense? It's definitely at cornerback. I know Marlon Humphrey's playing better lately, but their cornerbacks can be beaten. This is a tough matchup for their cornerbacks. Number two, as much as Lamar played great, very well on Monday night, I do worry a little bit that their offense has not been in rhythm lately and not a lot of like in rhythm throws. He broke the pocket a lot more and you're just counting on him to improvise, which he obviously can do, but you just would like to see that like a little more consistently. It's there one week, it's not the next. And unlike playing the 49ers defense, this is crazy, but I think the Dolphins have been a better defense the last 2 months. They've been like Baltimore, a explosive offense and a top five defense that can win games in different sorts of ways. And I think you saw that last week. So I am a little worried about it, but I'm locking it up too. I already had it locked in and I don't change my
thing. So
let's go back to the team that has gotten me here.
Yes. And just a counter punch to all that, which is all,
I think it's going to be close. Like it's not a lock only where I'm one like, of oh, they're going to roll.
Only one of these teams smoked the 49ers in San Francisco like 3 or 4 days ago. So like the Ravens, I just think they're at another level right now.
In a way that almost sometimes those worry me because it is so hard to stay at that level back-to-back weeks. We just saw it with the Bills. It's like the Bills followed up.
You're going to be Florio'd.
The Cowboys.
You're going to get Florio'd.
What?
Lamar Jackson burying Mike Florio in his post-game press conference.
Why am I burying? I just locked them up.
No, I'm saying they're looking for any type of motivation and people doubting them.
Well,
so you are kind of, you're locking up a team you're doubting a little bit. Right?
I wasn't worried about, I didn't know about that Florio thing until Lamar threw it out.
Yeah.
But he did say that they wouldn't even like be like worthy of being on the field of them, or they were going to get totally smoked.
I mean, Florio loves like, that. Okay. Florio adores the entire concept of what's happening.
And stay aggressive, by the way, John Harbaugh. I really don't like this new super conservative on fourth down, John Harbaugh.
Florio had a very dignified, extensive tweet response as well. Like a man who just lost the presidential election. Like it was like a concession speech.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook now with code ATN. New customers can bet $5 on NFL action to score $150 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code ATN. The crown is yours.
All right, let's keep moving here. We gotta pick up the pace. Mark, you're up.
So I'm looking at the slate. Early and late. And what I see over and over are like quality team versus floating trash bag. And so for me, it's like I want to see how.
When you say floating trash bag, do you mean like the beautiful kind from that movie, American Beauty, or just an actual.
No less.
The bad. The
that
really
was artistic. That was artistic. Yes.
And beautiful.
Very 90s. Yes. A little. That was artistic. This was more like you're driving down the highway and there's a trash bag.
Like it's going to end up in the ocean.
Sure. Yeah. It's going to clog things up and be a problem. And that's
a seagull is going to choke on it.
We're ready for it to go away and we're ready for some of these teams
to go
away.
That movie inspires one of Dan's least favorite things when movies don't hold up well, because that movie does not hold up.
It's got some problems.
You know what?
Including some of its actors.
Guess what?
Well, and stars.
Here's a take. I'm pushing back on the take that it's hasn't aged well. Watched it recently. Fun.
It's fine. It's also where you're at, like in a way. Like
maybe
did it age well?
Maybe
for
it's
you?
Bounced back because mine was like 7 years ago. Maybe
it's become like the prevailing sentiment that it's terrible, and now
terrible
coming back around again.
Okay,
Wes but Bentley. I believe
you know who kind of ruins it though. Yeah, Spacey.
Yeah, well that's
hard to.
It's tough to dig in.
But the criticism around it hasn't been about him being a creep. It's been that the movie is heavy-handed and all that. It's a great performance though.
Right. All right. We're good.
Agree with
it's
that.
Greg's pick.
Greg. And betting. Amazing.
Now for you, Greg. I will take San Francisco at Washington. Maybe it seems curious, but I really actually, and then San Francisco's giving up 12.5 points, which does not, that feels fine to me. I have no problem with that. Money line minus 750 for the Niners. Over under of 50. That's a high over under. But I think that to me felt like a little bit of a Jacoby Brissett factor there, because he's been actually really great for them 2 weeks in a row, and he's going to start. Sam Howell, the Sam Howell experience might be over forever. In Washington, we know the head coaching experience will be over. I mean, I think the whole team blew it, but he was spicy, if nothing else. I want to see how San Francisco responds. I don't have a problem with the idea that they're probably going to come and blow Washington's doors off, but This is one of the few teams. It's a pet team to me. Trent Williams is still banged up with a groin injury. Deebo Samuel's banged up. So I wonder if you're San Francisco, like, do you push these guys into action? Do you use Deebo Samuel as much as you would normally? Or do you try to get out of here with a win? It still matters. They're still fighting for that number one overall spot in the NFC. You cannot let up. The Niners, I think, have a. This is a statement game in a way for them to turn around after what happened on national television that completely altered the MVP race, completely altered people's confidence in the Niners, which I think is a little bit overbaked. I don't
know if I agree with that. I think if
it would alter the MVP race,
yes, but
entirely.
I suspect they're heavy favorites to make the Super Bowl. That hasn't changed in most people.
And I don't think you can make it. You no matter what they do here, positively, they're not making a statement this week.
I'm just saying, like, come out and like. Their version of a statement is drop 40 points on this terrible
team.
Sure,
I wouldn't learn anything about them, though.
I think I'd like to see it just because I want to see them playing their best at the end of the season and looking like they've looked. They need to. They really want to get that one seed. They haven't had those home games in the big spots, the NFC Championship, enough. They've really missed Arik Armstead, I think, the last couple of weeks. We don't know if he's going to return. Their offensive line... To me, especially when Trent Williams is out, it's like it went from being like very good to a problem. And that's something that's not going to be tested this week because there's no worse pass rush in the league than Washington. I mean, they made the Jets offensive line look like, you know, like the early 90s Cowboys last week. Simeon is just standing back there forever. So it's like, I'm with you, especially when the 49ers have the ball. I don't feel like I'm learning much.
You know what I like a lot? Because I do, yeah, I think the NFC is a little more saucy after that blowout loss in terms of intrigue. I'm already looking ahead, and maybe you get a flat Niners performance because they're doing the same to the Rams. There's a little bit of like 2007 week 17 Giants Patriots vibe there, where the Rams could make like one last big statement before the playoffs if they are to get there. And the Niners are just trying to lock up a big win to get where they need to be, number one seed potentially. I think they're going to be favored obviously each of the next 2 weeks because they're still rightfully seen as one of the best teams in the league, but they were humbled, and it's gonna be interesting, I guess, to see how they react to that.
I cannot stand the MVP derby. I just
don't talk about it. Don't worry about it. We
because
don't need
it's
to
like,
talk about
no,
it.
No, because like I can go
you're
find
the one that keeps bringing it up.
I can go find a game or two where Lamar Jackson like underperformed, but it happened months ago, and so it's
but
like
that matters. Context matters. Christmas just, night meltdown all, matters more just, than
it's
week.
It's all
four.
About what you do. Like as we get closer,
he
to
didn't have
voters.
A four pick game against another one of the big tests that it,
he did not.
It sticks.
I mean, he melted down against Cleveland in one game, but that's a
your good. Guy can still win.
No, he can't.
MVP.
I don't think he can.
Yeah,
what do you mean? He's the third or fourth
so.
Favorite right now.
I think he couldn't even be the number one on the Niners right now.
Well, I've thought it was McCaffrey all along. I think that's a totally legitimate thing looking at their offense and just how it's built. But
all right,
just needs to hope that Lamar loses, basically.
All right, let's do one more before taking a break, Greg.
All right, I am unprepared here.
Tuffy. Your first pick. You're going to get Vikings.
I'll take the Rams at the Giants. Rams are 5.5-point favorites, minus 230 money line. I like the Rams to win this game. I don't like the Rams to win as easily as when I found out Tyrod Taylor's taken over. I think it's a pretty big difference. I think
I agree.
It's close to a Dalton level scale, you know, starting quarterback who for the limited time he's played this year has unfurled a high amount of yes. big time throws. I don't know if that's going to continue versus, you know, maybe the most overmatched starting quarterback in the league. So you're going on the road across the country against a defense, which has been all over the place. It's gone from absolutely terrible to quite good to kind of back to terrible again the last couple of weeks. So I don't know what to think, but they are relatively healthy on defense, and it's just another chance for Stafford in this offense to kind of control the game. They have these long drives, and then suddenly when you're playing the Rams, you're like, wait a second, it's the middle of the third quarter and we're down 13 points and we've only had the ball like six times. They really have a way of shortening these games because of a very efficient offense that goes on these 9-10 play drives.
They and when you have Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, and Kieran Williams in there together, they have averaged almost 30 points a game. It's like their offense is fully formed. And I think coming into the season, I was like, I looked at a team that didn't do a lot along the offensive line after that was their Achilles heel a year ago. Since their bye, which was ages ago, week 10, they have the second lowest, they've allowed the second lowest pressure rate. Like, their line has performed, and like, they've been really healthy since their bye, and it becomes this NFC team. I love your comment about like the Patriots Giants end of season matchup that happened many years ago, where it's like, this Rams team has completely changed, evolved, grown, developed over the course of the season. And it's like, we keep propping up different people as coach of the year, but Sean McVay is right in that conversation. Like, this team was universally counted out as drifting driftwood on a dead sea before the season. And here they are. And like, it's like, who wants to deal with them right now?
I think the one thing that I've learned this season is to not doubt the brain trust there at all, because it did seem like, and that was the prevailing sentiment, that they bought that Super Bowl on credit, and now they were going to go into this tailspin and have to rebuild. But the way they have developed all of these players on both sides of the ball, and you're right about the offense, Greg, it's not just Matthew Stafford having a big year or the rise of Puka Nacua. Hell, Cooper Kupp's not even having a big year. He's been injured a lot. The way they identified a running back in the draft that became a star, the offensive line playing at a high level, the scheme is elite. And you tell me that the Rams are an easy out for anyone in this league. If they stay healthy, they are a true, they're going to be a wild card that is a true wild card in January.
Well, they couldn't have been happy seeing the 49ers lose on Monday night, because now the 49ers
heard them there.
Are going to be starting week 18. And so the Rams are far from guaranteed to get into the playoffs.
I mean, or go beat the Niners, and then suddenly everyone is alive.
They also could clinch this week, and they could rest starters next week. All they need is to win this game and the Seahawks to lose to the Steelers, which is, you know, a reasonable thing to hope for. And then the Rams are in this week. I do think that it's as much as everything else is, matters, and Puka's a true number one, and God, he was so impressive to see in person. Mm-hmm. Like, God, like, whatever the ceiling is, it's even higher than you could imagine for this kid. So much of it is just Stafford improvising. Like, you think of like Mahomes and Lamar as like the top, like, second reaction guys in the league, and I mean, he had five plays in that game that are not in the call sheet. He's just improvising, and he's freaking amazing at it. I don't think he's a crazy idea for MVP. I'd have him a little lower, but if it was like the NBA where you voted on five guys, I think he makes my top five.
You talking Stafford or Puka?
Stafford. Okay, Stafford, yeah.
I mean, you said that Puka's fun to watch in person. I imagine some of those Stafford throws were amazing.
The one where he was rolling left, we had the perfect view where he was rolling left and did the sidearm stuff, and I was just like, trying to tell Walker, I was just like, did you see that?
Stafford's in that Lamar world where, like, you have to ignore the stats because his TD interception ratio was just never really outstanding. But it's like, what he's doing physically is like this new version of Matthew Stafford.
And I think there was an NFL Plus Dreamatorium up earlier this season where I was talking about, is Stafford in the Hall of Fame conversation? Man, a year like this, I think, has completely reframed how special he has been. And he's actually the flip side of, and we're going to get to the Russell Wilson drama and the disaster that that's become for the Broncos, the boondoggle. That could have been the same thing for the Rams if Stafford came here and couldn't play. Instead, he kind of became a better version of himself and sustained his play in his 30s. Very interesting.
I'm not going to bring up MVP again on this episode. I don't know
but
why
you don't
I've
like
done
it.
That. I don't know why
don't
I've done
like
that
it.
12 times.
Yes.
That's got to be annoying
you're
to the
only
person
one.
Listening to this.
Do you have something else to say?
No, though? If you're driving around, you're probably annoyed.
Well, you just brought
point.
Up MVP to say
I'm
that
just
you're not going to bring it up.
I'm not announcing that I won't bring it up again.
Okay.
It's a tedious thread.
A ban on MVP, those three letters together, Eric, for the rest of the episode, starting now. Let's take a break, and we'll continue on.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't Nick.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Yeah, all right. Welcome back to Around the NFL, the Week 17 preview in bulk. The snake is slithering right back toward old Greggy.
I will take a late game. First one off the board.
Nice.
Bengals at Chiefs. Chiefs favored by 7. I don't want to hear Mark complain about Romo and Mahomes again, so you don't have to watch it.
Okay.
Money line minus 305 for the Chiefs. Kind of a big favorites considering, they were 10-point favorites against the Raiders, and they got smacked. How broken is their offense? This is another good test because the Cincinnati defense has been quietly broken as well, one of the worst groups in the league by almost any measurement. And so it's two of the most disappointing sides, I think, in the NFL, the Bengals defense and the Chiefs offense. I think if you're the Bengals, you're hoping Hendrickson and Hubbard can keep winning on the edge. Wanya Morris, we haven't been talking about, was a rookie left tackle playing for the Chiefs, or second-year tackle, hasn't played much and has not been good. And so if Hendrickson and Hubbard can keep getting pressure at the tackle position, maybe that sets up another long day for the Chiefs offense.
Oh, man. I mean, at this point, you just expect it, right? At this point, you kind of know that we were talking about this for a few weeks now that it's change probably ain't coming until after the season. But to see them face plant, I thought it was just really interesting that with the mighty Mahomes and the great Reed, the fact that those turnovers happened and there was so much game still in front of them and they just couldn't adjust. They couldn't find a way to get it going. And at this point, and the Bengals are in must-win territory just about here, right, Greg? I mean,
yes.
They need
yes.
it. Even if they don't have tiebreakers, they got to win.
Even if
out
they
and
win
out.
Both of them, they are not guaranteed. So they're right. In a deep hole.
So, they were cooled off, obviously. The Pittsburgh loss really took a lot of air out of the balloon there and the idea of what they could be when they were riding that three-game winning streak. So this is a game where I don't know what we're going to get from Cincinnati, but I kind of do know what we're going to get from Kansas City, and it will be a steady to very good defensive effort that could scramble Jake Browning, who's an up and down entity here. So I see this as crazy as it is, and it's a bummer because if you look in September, ooh, Cincinnati at Arrowhead, week 17.
I know.
I think this is going to be a low scoring game. I think this is going to be like a 17-14 type game. And I think it's a true toss-up. I don't think.
I wish it was Dolphins Ravens in this spot.
Yeah,
that's why I don't know why they didn't do that. I mean, you're absolutely right because like Kansas City, 20 or fewer points in 8 of their games, and it certainly looks like it. I do think for the Bengals, like it's a tough slate down the stretch. Pittsburgh's defense, Kansas City's defense, like for as disappointed as we are by the offense, like their defense has been super consistent game after game for the most part. Cleveland's defense next week.
That's brutal.
So it's a rough stretch for Jake Browning. It's also a chance for him to like bring us back into the world where we believe in him. Jamar Chase took part in the walkthrough. He's got a shoulder injury. I think that matters a lot because Chase and Browning have connected pretty well.
Playoff game. I would expect them to be there.
You've
got to
put all these guys
to.
In.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I mean, Kadarius Toney's banged up for the Chiefs. Isaiah Pacheco's banged up. T. Higgins coming off a huge performance. So it's like I don't feel like that the Bengals team that we loved a week ago was floated away entirely. It's just kind of like, we'll see.
This could be the last time we see them as we know it. Now, I think they'll tag T. Higgins, but, you know, in terms of a meaningful game, if they lose this game, they're basically done. T. Higgins, Mixon, Tyler Boyd, Jonah Williams, four guys who basically started every game throughout this run. All four might not be there next year. I feel like they'll tag Higgins because he's just too good. But this is the end of something with Cincinnati, which feels weird because Burrow's so young. But they're just gonna have to reload on the fly and figure out what was wrong this year.
Dream it all up again. Last word on this game. Let's go to the New Heights podcast, which is, by the way, presented by Wave Sports and Entertainment. Travis Kelce not having the year you expect from him. The Chiefs obviously not having the year you expected from them offensively. And he does that podcast with his brother, Jason, and here are his thoughts on the state of their offense.
Everybody's just got to do their job. Every single play, it's somebody not doing their job. And it's me. It's everybody on the team. And whether that's prep, whether that's having the confidence and understanding of what the defense is in, their coverages, their gaps in the run game, how we're picking up blitzes, how we're running routes versus certain coverages, all the above. Mm.
And we should bring it up here because you could look at that as just, you know, cliches there that we all got to man up and do our job and all that. Or you could say, like, is he talking about the level of preparation and coaching with the offense as well? And you have, obviously, Bieniemy is not there anymore. Matt Nagy took on a bigger role there. Obviously, Reed is the architect. Is there frustration in that building? And Greg, you pointed out Rashee Rice, a lot of miscommunications. We know Tony has had mental and physical gaffes. Is the offensive lines was having breakdowns? Is this a situation in-house in Kansas City where it's like this offense is not being put in position? Forget about just the skill level. Put in position to be successful on Sundays.
He's their leading receiver because they don't have a leading receiver.
Well, normally in this situation, an offensive coordinator leaves and you turn from a very buttoned up unit to one of the sloppiest units in the league by any measurement. People would be going crazy about the offensive coordinator change. I think it's confusing because Andy Reid's the head coach, but I think it's totally fair to wonder, like, Eric Bieniemy leaves, Matt Nagy comes on, and suddenly they don't look very well coached.
Right. It was always part of the reason why I think Bieniemy, or one of the reasons he didn't get a head coaching job, it was always very nebulous about what he was actually doing. And then even, we talked about it over the summer, that NFL quarterback show, you would see during their Super Bowl run last year, it was Nagy that was very involved on the sideline on a game play-by-play basis. And you're always like, where is Bieniemy? Well, right now they're asking, where is the offense and where is the flow to it? And the basic fundamentals is what Kelce is also getting at. Why aren't we playing at a high level? It's crazy. All right, Mark, back to you.
All right, taking another early game, Saints at Bucks. Intriguing. The Bucks basically...
That would have been a good number two pick, but you ended up getting... It all worked out.
Sure. Well, that's how the draft works sometimes. It just, you know, I don't know why. I'm sort of stunned that Greg didn't take his Saints, but that's okay. I'll report to you what I observed.
They have not been my Saints for many years here. I'm rooting Bucks. Let's go win a division.
That's the thing. They're in it. They win. And they are the
team. I should have taken this game just because of that.
Aren't we rooting for them to win this division? Like, how can you make an argument for anyone else?
Yeah, like, they're the only team that's not like a deadbeat.
They've been like the best version of themselves for a while. And it starts with Baker Mayfield. And I think there's like a really specific historical, a lot of these like historical notes about player X performing a certain way against a team begins to become nonsensical because the rosters have changed so much. But like the Saints and Bucks, like when you put Mike Evans against the Saints defensive backs who have, they're kind of similar, like they're nasty, like Marshawn Lattimore and friends, like this
although they've really missed him in this matchup where he was so good against Evans.
Right. And that the Lattimore really has been like the guy, but like, it's like Mike Evans has been held under 70 yards in 9 of his last matchups against the Saints. This has been like their player, their guy. And like, I think the one thing that has been such a promising aspect to Baker Mayfield is that offense was so frustrating a year ago. And how many times did I watch Tom Brady and Mike Evans unable to connect deep downfield That's not been the case with Mayfield and Evans. I think that that's the, kind of the engine of their offense, and explosive plays in this matchup matter a lot. When they battled the first time, you know, the Saints always made life very tough for Tom Brady during his stretch with the Bucks. Baker Mayfield went in and they won 26-9. And like the performance between Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield was night and day. But Derek Carr, for all the critique he gets, since week 8 has 140 passer rating on deep passes. And so it's like, I think explosive plays make the difference here.
Bucks favored by 2.5. Man, this is a tempting lock here. Saints have the extra rest coming off the TNF game, but man, the desert's been giving the Saints way too much credit for way too long. Like, they were barely underdogs in LA, got smoked. They're barely underdogs here. They're playing their worst football. The Bucks have won 4 in a row. Offensively, they're great. They're a very good offense right now. They're a legitimate top 10 offense. Evans leads all NFL wide receivers in touchdowns right now. He's going to get to like 1,400 yards. Like, his route running, the jerk route he ran on for the touchdown last week against what cornerback was that last? I mean, just made him look
going to make a lot of money.
Ridiculous. Tyson Campbell, it was. He was awesome. This feels like Dennis Allen's last stand. And Baker, they're now saying like there's mutual interest in keeping him. He's played his best 2 games of the season the last 2 weeks. I think Baker's been solid all year, but he's been legitimately really, really good the last 2 weeks, and he's playing a team that just doesn't get any pass rush here. Like, man, I like the Bucks. Maybe we should lock him up.
It's not too late. You know, we know what Todd Bowles is and what he isn't, so he has nothing to do really with the offensive game plan. Have we been talking about Dave Canales on this show?
Early in the season, yes.
Yeah, well, Geno's guy a year ago.
They went through a little slump, but yeah.
It also tells you, so because he deserves credit, because we were just talking about Kansas City and what's going on. Everybody's out of sync. It's an offense that is in sync and is potent right now, and you got the quarterback playing with confidence, and Evans is having an all-pro year, and you even got Godwin going a little bit now, and it's just like, okay, look out now. We shall see. This is also the same. This is why they are the most deserving team to claim this bizarre division. They also did lose 6 of 7 at one point this season. So the DNA within them perhaps is still there to have a late collapse. But I'm not
I think
there.
I have to do this. Like, I was going to go somewhere else, but it's like this has been one of the more unexpected quarterback performances of the season by Baker Mayfield, who I think was a Dalton line candidate coming into the year. I'm locking up the Bucks. They're going to do it. Enough with the Saints. Check you later.
Okay.
Dalton Lyon, I mean, heck, he was way below that. That's why he got no money this offseason. He got a 1-year, $3 million contract. And he's been better than Derek Carr, who got.
He has. There's environment, but he's going to be a dad soon, too.
What kind of contract would Baker get? That's tricky.
It is a very tricky one.
A tricky one.
For them.
I love Baker at this value.
It is tricky. Yeah.
I like this Baker.
One last thing. The Buccaneers are the only team in the NFL that everything else that matters in terms of their playoff positioning and everything, everything else in the NFL has no impact on them whatsoever. Literally no other results matter. If they win one of their next 2 games, they are the 4 seed, period.
There you go.
If they don't win either, if they go 0-2, they're out.
That is mathematically refreshing.
I do like that. To quote the great Mariano Duncan. Remember Mariano Duncan? Nice middle infielder back in the 90s.
Not really.
We play today. We win today. That's it.
Okay.
That's what the Bucks got to do. All right, I am up, and feels like it's been a long time since I've been up on the clock, and here I am.
Speed up.
I do like I like this game that it's still here. Raiders at Colts. I mean, come on. It's a big game in the AFC. And you can look at these teams and say, oh, who cares? Doesn't matter. These aren't Super Bowl teams. I get it. I'm with you. But it matters to the players, and it matters to the coach, and it matters to the fan base. So it's a game with a lot on the line. Colts at 8-7. And they are, you know, with the Jaguars in a free fall, what's going on in the division over there right now? Where are they at?
They're all tied.
Oh my goodness. So the division is there. The wild card is there.
The Jags have most of the tiebreakers if it all stayed tied, but it's a 3-way tie. Yeah.
And then you have, on the Las Vegas side of things, the biggest surprise, of the last couple of weeks has been what they've done. I mean, they put up a 60 burger on the Chargers. Then on Christmas Day, they go to Arrowhead and they beat the artists formerly known as the Chiefs. And yes, the Chiefs are not the Chiefs anymore, at least not this season. But that is still a huge win for that organization. Obviously for Antonio Pierce, who's trying to get that intern label ripped right the hell off. So take a look at the Raiders now, because if they can beat the Colts in Indy, and we saw what the Colts just got spanked by the Falcons.
That was a terrible loss. That was a terrible loss.
So we know what's going on with the Colts. They are just hanging around here. They could be picked off by anyone. They could beat a lot of teams too, but they could get picked off. Then they would be the Raiders home against the Broncos in week 18. And hot damn, if they ever win out and make the playoffs, that would be one of the more unlikely rises for any team in recent memory.
I mean, it would match the Bisaccia experience. I mean,
but even more so, like that team had some talent. This team was completely written off.
Yeah, they had a much longer runway too because Gruden got fired so early. You know what I mean?
It's interesting to me how they're doing it, because I think your argument for Antonio Pierce, and we talked about it a little bit in the recap show, was that like if you're going to be a defensive coach in 2023, 2024, like, your defense better be great. Like, it better be like, we better see like a noticeable difference. And like, I think that's happened with them. Like, they won that game against the Chiefs where Devontae Adams had one reception for 4 yards. They've had four defensive touchdowns in two games. And the Raiders are one of the deepest historical lore operations in all of sports. And they've never done that over the course of two games in their entire organizational history. And they've had some great defenses and some like ball hawk type players. You got a guy like Max Crosby, who's played more percentage of defensive snaps than anyone else in the league and like has gutted through terrible injuries. That tells me you want to play for your coach. That tells me you want to play for Antonio Pierce. And like, I think they'd be one of the most spicy stories around if they ever snuck into the wild card.
Yeah, this is basically a playoff game. Good pick. Fun game. An elimination game for the Raiders. If they lose, they're out. Not quite for the Colts, who just because of the division actually have a decent chance. They could even lose this game, win next week, and still have a decent chance to get in. I don't know if Josh Jacobs is going to be back. Julian Blackman, who's been really good at safety for the Colts, is out. They're only 3-4 at home. The Raiders have also been a much better home team and bad on the road, so something's got to give there. This version of Minshew, who's been playing better, I think, in recent weeks, despite I know that the result, it's so weird. I swear he's played better the last 3 weeks. Versus this defense, that could be trouble, though. That could be trouble for the Colts. Two teams, good pick. I like this.
All right. We'll see. We'll see. I want it to be a dramatic affair, and we'll see if Jonathan Taylor gets it going again, second game back after the thumb injury. I don't know if you just said it, Greg, but Colts can win out and still miss the playoffs. But they could also win their division.
They could also, like, yeah, lose this game and very easily make the playoffs next week.
There's a lot.
It's crazy. The Colts,
lots
by the way, 3.5-point favorites, and the money line is minus 175. I'm taking the Colts. I feel bad, Raiders fans.
Okay. Snakes to me. You know what? I'm going to keep going down this road, and I'm going to pick up these games that are essentially playoff games for these teams. The Steelers traveling to Seattle to face the Seahawks. This is the Seahawks getting 3.5 in this game. And yeah, Mason Rudolph, he's getting another start. It's been quite a journey for Mason Rudolph, but all of a sudden he's getting something that maybe, I mean, you didn't think this would ever be a situation again, that here we are in late December, turning the calendar over to January, and he is playing quarterback in a huge game for the Steelers. And maybe the craziest thing, it is the obvious right move for this team right now. That tells you a lot. Just tells you a lot.
Right. We're not sure if Kenny Pickett is even going to be available, although there was some hope that he would be. But Tomlin made it clear early in the week that either way, it's going to be Rudolph, who got a lot out of it. George Pickens is a very talented human, and they're not doing themselves a service if they don't find a way to use him. And Rudolph did in a big way. He's not afraid to go down the field, and I'm looking forward to those matches.
You're going
to
get the bad with Pickens. That's just part of the DNA here. But you might as well get the good while you're at it. And they were only getting the bad and not the good. Let the guy make plays, throw it up, and it made them. I don't enjoy watching the Steelers. I haven't enjoyed watching the Steelers for years now. Mostly rooted in the quarterback play, even at the end of the Ben era. that was at least a compelling, watchable brand of football where the, you know, you're getting that physical Steelers defense with an offense that is taking chances and throwing the damn ball.
It, Rudolph has more touchdown passes than Kenny Pickett with 13 fewer games played.
I can't. Yeah, we're going to rush Kenny Pickett back on the field. Can we calm down?
I also think it's interesting, like, wait, Steelers fans.
He has more touchdowns this season? That can't
no,
be
no,
true.
No, 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 career-wise.
Like, oh, okay.
13
okay.
Fewer.
Well, I was like, Rudolph, he only played that one game.
No, I'm just saying, like,
too
he's,
far.
He's,
it should be pointed out that Mason Rudolph came into the league in 1996. So
that's, but 13 been, fewer,
but
games,
fewer games,
13 though, yeah. fewer games than Pickett.
Well,
so I'm not saying, like, he's
he didn't come into the league in 1996.
I do find it interesting that, like, Rudolph, like, Steelers fans are so, they adore him to such a degree that they do.
Teammates seem to like him too.
Yeah. I mean, if you had to watch some of these guys that have been playing quarterback for the Steelers, you would probably want the underdog that you think didn't really ever get a fair shake. Although that's I feel fair. Like we watch a lot of bad Mason Rudolph football too.
Yeah.
No, but not last week.
What is it? Where
not last week.
No, it was fine.
Devin Witherspoon is possibly returning, which would be really big. That benching of Tariq Woolen, I think, worked. He had a great game last week. They put him back in
masterstroke
starting lineup. Carroll does have, and I think you see it with the Russ stuff, like, Carroll does have a way, I think, of giving players, you see it with Geno, a lot of confidence and getting the best out of him. They got Witherspoon in that Russell Wilson trade. I do want to see Geno, like, use the middle of the field more. This is a matchup that you can do it. Everything is to the outside. Like, there's so many great Geno throws. Like, he played really well last week. And yet, like, there's such high degree of difficulty. Can we get something over the middle of the field to Smith and Jigba and the tight ends? Like, he's done it before, and they just don't, compared to almost any team in the league, they just don't do that. And you should be able to against this slow Pittsburgh linebackers and what's going on in their secondary.
They're pretty banged up. Like, Kenneth Walker right. did not practice on Wednesday. Jackson Smith and Jigba was limited. Jamal Adams, who feels like an enigma at this point, maybe not really part of the team going forward, also banged up. Jordan Brooks was hurt in that game. Noah Fant. So it's like, you know, you're gonna, it's that time of year for Seattle, but it's like part of those guys need to be healthy for
their
Geno
tackles
to do what you
got
just said.
Worked last week against Tennessee, and that is a big concern against TJ Watt and Highsmith.
Seahawks have a 69% chance of making the playoffs. Nice. Even if they lose this week, they do get the Cardinals next week, but then you kind of need some things to fall your way. So win this game, 88% chance of making the dance.
Right.
So.
In the AFC, like, a 9-win team at this point is pretty likely to get in, at least some 9-win team. In the NFC, I don't know. You're playing with fire if you get that.
I mean, we do not need Pittsburgh.
All right, Mark, back to you, buddy.
So there is one final late game, but I'm going to take it later under the assumption that you're not going to steal it from me, because this is the special week where the NFL has created a scenario where we'll each be watching three games apiece in the early window. So I'm going to take my final one, which is Arizona at Philadelphia. Similar situation. I want to see these, like, best teams in the conference, like, show me that they're still going to battle down to the end. And
you're hunting for blowouts. That's what you're doing.
That is exactly what I'm doing.
You got the sniper rifle. You're on the sixth floor of the book depository right now.
I tried to dress it up in a different way, but you saw right through that. That's what I'm looking for. If you're going to do three, two of them better be kind of easy narratives. Let's go.
That's why you drafted 49ers.
Yeah, you need that. You want to take that Purdy victory lap on Sunday after waxing the worst secondary in the
Well,
season.
I do feel that way about.
He is the best player in the league again.
I do feel that way about.
Here it comes. Everybody get ready.
But you could say the Eagles. There is, like, a fair amount of intrigue around the Eagles, because it's like, the whole Matt Patricia thing, the fact that, like, A.J. Brown at times has sort of vanished from this offense, that Jalen Hurts essentially leads the league in turnovers from the pocket. Like, I think he's an interesting study, because it's like he made this huge leap last year where it's like, oh, that's what we just expected Justin Fields to do this year. Well, that's not how it works. But, like, Jalen Hurts has taken a big step back, and I think that their coaching, their coordinator shifts have made a major difference to that team. They feel like kind of on the brink, where there's just this, like, the Eagles front office ownership, everything on down was, like, the most consistent, trustable team out there, like the NFC's version of the Ravens almost. And, like, in the last fortnight, everything feels different. And it's like, are they on the precipice of implosion if they have another bad performance? And Arizona's probably not going to go do that. A little spicier with Kyler Murray, but it's like, this is probably a home run for the Eagles, but if anything went south, I want to watch it, because I think things get really interesting for a team that's hanging in a weird place right now.
It would sting to lose to Jonathan Gannon. It's a big Jonathan Gannon revenge. Now, people say revenge, you know, he was helped them get to the Super Bowl. But his whole controversy of how he left and the interviews and the process of that, that all like kind of led to Sean Desai getting hired, and that didn't work. You know, it all didn't leave them in a good spot.
Not the guy.
I mean, Jalen Hurts, I think, is coming off one of his best games of the year. I think he's had a very good season. If to me, a fourth year player that he hasn't as good as last year, obviously.
Very good, huh?
He's like, yes, I think he's been like a top 7 or 8 quarterback in the NFL for where is his development to me is totally fair. It's the other stuff around them that, to me, that's been more disappointing, namely the defense. The most controversial thing I feel like that happened in the Eagles lately is like they're kind of benching Jalen Carter. Maybe didn't have the greatest effort on some plays last week, like played 21 snaps. It's weird that that hasn't been talked about a lot.
That feels chaotic to me.
They just need to get back to running the ball. It was a great Swift game last week. I think you can run it down the Cardinals' throat.
Interesting about Carter. I mean, see poems written, Mark, about him earlier in the year, and also a guy that came into the league with some question marks about character and things of that nature. Let's see what's going on with him.
Yeah, I think it might just be he never had many snaps in college, neither did Jordan Davis, and like he's just wearing down and they're trying to save him a little bit for the playoffs because he is running out of gas,
man here. I feel that
Eagles favored by 11 -600, and you get Joe Davis and Daryl Johnston on the call. Pam Oliver, how about that?
Big good, victory for me.
Good team
from a broadcasting standpoint.
Greg, you're up.
Let's do Panthers, Jaguars. How about that? It's actually in the lock zone. You could lock against the Panthers. -6.5 and -285 for the money line.
Good one.
Panthers, Jaguars. Can the Jaguars complete this collapse?
I feel like you're rooting for that. Am I wrong? I sense that.
They weren't good all year and that they, just before the season, I did not have them as like a playoff team. I am surprised.
But that would make you look very smart if they end up faceplanting.
Nobody's going to remember anything.
Everyone.
And none of it. I picked the Chargers to make the Super Bowl. None of it matters.
I didn't need to say that.
Yeah, but nobody cares. That's one thing you've learned. You get older, literally no one's going to care about your predictions, right?
Who did you pick to win the biggest award, individual award? What do they call that again?
We can't discuss that. Well, I can't.
I actually don't remember.
You guys can.
Do you remember? I don't remember.
I think I picked Mahomes.
I know.
You know, we're going to revisit all that stuff at the end of the regular season.
No Trev, potentially in this game, but he is. He did speak with the media, so I think he's probably going to play. He's come up with a new injury every week. He's just had this terrible luck where he's played every game. It feels like he's missed games.
He feels gone.
And he's not finished 3 in a row, right?
Definitely. Yeah, like in his last 4 games, he's had a high ankle sprain that looked terrible when it happened.
Right.
He's had a concussion and a shoulder injury.
Quick recap, Eric. The last 3 games for Trevor. Okay, here's game 1.
He gone.
Game 2.
He gone.
Game 3.
He gone.
I don't even know if that's true.
I think
well,
you're close.
In terms of leaving the game, yeah.
You're close. You're
and
close.
It sounds like he will play. And I don't know what to put on his injuries because he had like 7 or 8 dimes in that game against the Bucks. Yeah, but
big time player.
But I don't know what to think about it because like he had a bad game because he made so many poor decisions and turned the ball over. But if you made like a list of the best throws in that game, he had more great throws than Baker Mayfield. So it's like I have a hard time saying like, well,
Mark's
it's because of the injury. I just mean that like
don't need to be protected on that front.
These things are confusing. It's the defense, the offensive line, everything is kind of collapsing around them. Bryce Young playing a little better. So,
good.
Wow. Go win
That's
this
exactly
game.
Exactly what we need.
Go win this game and get out of that 1 seed, maybe.
All right. Let's take a break, and we'll go back to Greg when we come back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
All right, welcome back, Greg. It's back to you, baby boy.
All right, what else is left?
I think we could talk about a certain quarterback.
All right, let's go Chargers, Broncos.
Isn't that the only late game that I was telling you not?
What's a Shook game anyway? So
-185
minus three and a half.
Dog.
So I'm going to do 4 1 o'clock games. If you're on this,
we can switch it around. We can give it.
Sounds absurd.
You got your ass.
I don't know. I just listened to the host here. He said, "Let's talk Russ." I figured
that feels like a good time to talk Russ.
I don't know.
What a
could have talked about it in 4 minutes.
Weird. What a weird. 24 hours it's been since the report came out initially that, like, oh, they might be going to Jared
the whole
Stidham.
Nation is dealing with it.
And then 30 minutes later, they are benching Russell Wilson for Jarrett Stidham, even though the Broncos have a chance to make the playoffs here. If they win out, you know, they got a shot to make it. I believe Sean Payton when he says, like, he admitted that the finances are part of it.
Always a mistake to start a sentence that.
Right, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. I really stepped into it. Where he says, like, the finances are part of it. They're trying to avoid Russell Wilson getting hurt potentially and then being on the hook for all this guaranteed money. But obviously they didn't do it until this week. And so until this week, they decided, like,
right,
it was worth keeping playing him. And that, actually, we'd like to see Jarrett Stidham because we gave him this big contract and we don't think it's going to be some big drop off. Maybe he'll be better. Maybe he'll be worse. And that it's the combination of Russell Wilson's play and the contract. Russell Wilson, you can tell, is putting out all this stuff through his sources that say it's all about the contract. And no, it's a combination. If Russell Wilson was balling out and it wasn't coming off one of the worst games of his season, I don't think he would be benched right now.
It's God's plan. Here, two things. I find it to be refreshing. There's a team at the bottom of the AFC playoff race that's like, we're not kidding ourselves here. Like, we could ride with Russ and risk the financial side to try to get in the playoffs, and maybe we'll make some. No, we're already looking ahead to the future of this franchise. And I think an old Gregism, Greggy, it's like, it's two things can be true. It's
yeah.
Russell Wilson is a Dalton line level quarterback at this point. He's not a terrible quarterback, but he's, you know, in that kind of soft underbelly. Where would you put him? I don't know, like 14 to 17 in that range. And what does not work is to pay a Dalton line quarterback like a superstar, especially when there are risks of guaranteeing money for a quarterback. You have now decided with new leadership this year, okay, we tried it out for a year. We're moving forward. It all kind of makes sense. Now Denver just has to eat all the poop, and it's unprecedented almost levels of financial penalties they're going to incur here to move on from Russ. But it's still, you got to do it because you did try this year. And I think they did a good job in having patience waiting this long to see if this is a marriage to make work because of the money. It didn't work and they're moving on, and I think it makes sense.
I think in theory you would say that the best possible avenue he could have had to save his career was under Sean Payton or under a coach like Sean Payton. And I think I kind of love what they're doing.
But it's not even about like he needs to save his career, because I don't think he's some hopeless cause. He's
no, but just coming off
a guy
like, coming off of last year, like his Broncos career. Like,
right,
the version of him in Denver where it's like he would stay beyond this season, He finished top. He's top 10 right now in completion percentage, touchdown pick ratio, and passer rating.
Yeah, but
it doesn't look like it.
It's kind of like Lamar. You got to watch the games.
Yeah,
and
I think
you know ball. You know, it's like he's
but
average.
He's not. But, I think it's like people are not like watching Broncos games at all. Just like he's just a disaster because he was that last year. No, he's not. Like he's just in the middle of the road, like you're saying. But I'm wondering more, like, if you're the Broncos and if you're Sean Payton, who was clearly told before he took the job, like, you're not tied to Russell Wilson. You can evaluate and see what you want to do. Like, why are we keeping the general manager? Like, who made this trade? And, like they evaluated, Greg, like, you were saying you were down on Russell Wilson before that trade had ever happened, a season before that trade ever happened. It's like the general manager who is hired to make these kinds of decisions and tangle you financially in a wise way towards a franchise quarterback made a terrible decision. And other people were seeing that Russell Wilson was not the same player.
And Russell Wilson is guaranteed a lot of money next year. People kind of are getting it twisted. It's like, oh, they're getting out of having to pay him next year. It's like, no, he's actually guaranteed money next year. The extension they signed him to, which, to be clear, was in the area of the Mahomes and Josh Allen's type extensives, it hasn't started yet, Dan. It starts next year.
That's wild.
It's totally That's insane.
Wild. What is it's funny money, Greg. You have it, right? What is
well,
it again?
I think in terms of the actual money, it's still over 30 plus that they owe him. But in terms of the dead money,
right.
The cap space,
that's what kills
them. 85 million. In theory, they could eat it all in 1 year. I don't think they'll do that.
Sean
I think
Payton's they'll not doing that.
They'll spread it out over two, but it might be tempting. The Falcons were in a somewhat similar scenario, and they decided to eat all of Matt Ryan's money, which was like 40 or something in 1 year, to at least get it off the books, because suddenly Russell Wilson's going to cost you like $49 million in 2025 on the cap, and it's like, right. Man, maybe we just want to take our medicine, and that's why it's one of the worst trades in NFL history,
right.
Because the contract and all the picks that led right. to Weatherspoon and Mafia, all these, like, picks for Seattle, what a coup.
Just to put that in
Seattle.
It absolutely was. And just to put it in perspective, so if his cap hit is near, what'd you say, 50? If they spread it out?
If they spread it out, it'll be in the 30s next year and then near 50 in 2025.
The cap, at least this year, and it always creeps up, is 225. So that's going to be eating up a large part of their availability. So it's a type of move that if you hit on it, and I'll use Stafford again as an example, it opens up your window as a contender for several years. But if it goes the other way, this is a mistake that is going to continue to reverberate for multiple years. And I wonder if Sean Payton, and he's not a man that lacks confidence, if he ever truly thought that out and if he's now realizing, oh, wait, okay, I couldn't fix him. And now, look, I'm basically handcuffed in a league where coaches don't usually get more than 3 years to right a ship.
I mean, Sean Payton didn't have a lot of other options when he took this
when
job.
When he got huge money.
Right. So there's,
know,
I mean,
I
that
was a huge part.
I would just say this. Are
he
we
could have waited it out and eventually found
he
something.
He could have, but are we in an NFL that's so absurd and so like ill-thinking that's another team this offseason is going to convince themselves to bring in Russell Wilson as a starter? Like, if that happens, I lose entire faith.
But here's
like
the thing:
what's happening with front offices in general?
He's, again, I don't think he's bad. And look how many bad quarterbacks
we're
watching,
like,
this year.
I know, but like, then it's just like, what are we? What are you saying?
But Russell Wilson getting paid like, I don't know, Geno Smith or something, it makes more sense. This is what is outrageous: getting paid like this to play like that.
Right. That does
it. Will get things will get leveled a little bit.
He feels a little awkward though, as like a Teddy Bridgewater type. So I'm with you, Mark. I don't know. I don't think there's going to be a starting job. Maybe once all the chairs stop moving, maybe there'll just be some team that needs him.
The Commanders will.
Or like the Raiders.
But I
don't do that.
I actually kind of doubt it. This is so ugly though. Like, so Jordan Schultz had this reporting, and then it was backed up, I think, by The Athletic, that the Broncos approached Wilson 2 days before, after their upset of the Chiefs, which is, you know, almost 2 months ago now, late October, and told him they were going to make him inactive if they didn't adjust his contract and defer the injury guarantee that I was talking about, and that they threatened him, and they got into a major dispute that the NFLPA got involved in. Who knows? It's interesting to me that Russell Wilson his side is clearly putting this out there to make Sean Payton and the Broncos look bad. And Sean Payton is very aware of what is happening. And these two still have to work together the next couple of weeks. And Russell Wilson is going to be the backup this week. That's what Sean Payton said. So they're having this sort of source war. And he's basically saying, Sean Payton's a jerk. I shouldn't be benched. I'm going to put this out. And then I'm going to go on Twitter and go on a streak of liking a bunch of tweets from all these accounts like that.
High school.
I mean, that, like, it is 2024. Here are the people, JFA Football, he liked, JPA Football. Oh, that's one of those terrible ones. Fantasy Fanatics, he did, which had been talking him up. Liking some other stuff of all putting these out there of how poorly Peyton's treating him and how great Russell Wilson is. And then his public statement is that, like, I trust in God. And I really think it's interesting because these two guys, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, few people have tried to manipulate the media through sources to make themselves look better and to like get money than these two guys. So it's like,
you know what?
It's like my Super Bowl of like source offs.
We have been doing this for a long time. And like, there is like no one gets Greg more, not no one, but like top five get Greg fired up. Sean Payton is consistently cemented in the top five.
But Russell Wilson has come on strong.
Yeah. I get
it's why they were yelling at each other. They were two alike.
I also find football, you know, the Twitterverse to be exhausting sometimes because
I mean, to
it's,
say the
it's
least,
hypocritical that we're always talking about how, you know, the owners have too much power and the players, we should always side with players. And this thing that's happening, but then it depends on the player. And Russell's not an overly popular guy. So all of a sudden, we're not like saying he's being done dirty. But he is being done dirty.
I think that is just the thing. I think it's working, what he's doing. And he's just like
Derek Carr, this, I think, is an unfair loophole. I'll call it the Carr Clause because it happened with him with the Raiders last year. That you sign a certain deal that you expect to protect you, and then they kind of use it against you. And in this case, you hold him, put a gun to his head and say, unless you change your contract, we're going to end your career here and bench your ass.
But here's the thing. They didn't. So that's why the reporting.
But they did.
But they didn't for two more months. So they didn't actually do it. So that needed a little pushback in terms of the reporting. It's like, okay, they threatened that they were going to do that, and they didn't do it. They waited until he played himself off the team.
But context matters, too. That was at the point of the season where things were going really well.
No, it was when they were 3-5, and they said they were going to bench him then.
It was after the Chiefs upset.
Yes, but they were 3-5 at that point.
Okay, well, they had turned the corner after a terrible start. Yeah. Where were they? They were 1-4, right?
They were 1-4, and then they were 1-5. I think they had won two.
1-5, and so they were kind of things were turning over. I'm just saying, sometimes it's like, where do we choose when to side with ownership and when do we side with
the one, it's not Russell Wilson is not being thrown into the breadline where he has to get a job at like CVS next week. It's like he's making.
Oh, okay. If you want to put it through that lens, what are we talking about
with
anything?
I am. Like, well, that's a fair question. It's like he's.
This is within how that sausage gets made.
He's an incredibly disappointing quarterback for what they thought they were getting.
Now we're talking how the sausage gets made. Right. Oh.
It's a disaster. And he's still making an incredible more. He's making way more money than he deserves for what he's given them.
This was one where he's doing the PR thing and it's working.
I mean,
Russell Wilson is equally tedious.
I think Sean Payton needs to handle that better.
Greg, almost every big name player has representation that works for them. And when these crises happen,
it's different.
There's spin and it's part of the game.
Absolutely, but I think it's fair to look at these two guys, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, and say they've gone
above and beyond. That guy is a whole other category.
He's actually been quiet here because I think he knows he's...
I mean, enough with the slogans, Russell Wilson.
All right, let's move on.
All right, let's see. Anything about that game? No, we're good. Mark.
All right, I'm going to take my fourth early game because at this point, someone just... Find an operable firearm and take me out.
What does it matter? I'll take one of them.
But I'm going Tennessee at Houston. Happens.
Speaking of putting in perspective, you're watching football for a living, Sessler.
Tennessee at Houston.
You just took the Shook game, so that's not a fourth.
I know what I'm doing.
Old Kaiser Soze over there.
You can't have it both ways. You can't say...
Greg, I can have it both ways.
You have it both
ways.
Thing.
You have it both ways like 25 times a show. I'll have it both ways.
I'm happy to take the game from you.
I am happy to take it for myself. In the nick of time, CJ Stroud, who practiced...
good.
Is returning. Thank God. Found that so depressing for the Texans, who are one of the best stories around, to lose this quarterback. And so this is such a winnable division. The version that we got of C.J. Stroud and the Texans are the team I want to win this division. Enough with everyone else. Give me a break. When you look back at the first matchup, one thing stands out to me is that Derrick Henry had 16 carries for 9 yards and 4 receptions for 1 yard. Historically, you have to go back deep in time to find a player that had 20 offensive touchdowns or 20 offensive touches with 10 scrimmage yards. That's never happened in the Super Bowl era. So it's like, if you can nullify Derrick Henry, and like, it sounds like Will Levis is going to come back potentially, but it's like, this is somewhat of a dead offense. Go take care of business, Houston. Win this game. You got Stroud back in the lineup. This is the most intriguing team in the AFC South if he's performing the way that we know, and especially if you get guys like Will Anderson and the rest down the stretch back as well. It's like, this is a well-coached team, coach of the year potential. I want to see Houston in the playoffs. Start right here.
Yeah, I'm with you. They
were giving up 5.5 points.
They are favored here. I guess that's assuming Stroud.
Well, they should be.
-255. It's probably Levis. It's probably the last two games of Derrick Henry's career, according to Derrick Henry in Tennessee. So that's interesting. He was kind of talking about, like, he sees where it's going and he wanted to play for one team, but it's just probably not going to happen. Tajay Spears being fantastic is part of that. Kind of shows you the limitations of a great backfield. I would put them in the top 3-4 backfields in the NFL, and really doesn't matter that much for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing else happening with that offense, too. It can't be just that.
CJ being back, Blake Cashman being back, but might not have Anderson or Grenard, which is what made this defense special. So the Texans are definitely capable of losing this game, too. They're not some juggernaut. Stroud was struggling a little bit before the injury, too, and now has missed a couple weeks. So I'm with you, Mark. I really hope they win and find a way in.
All right. Up next. I mean, am I going to have 5 games? This seems...
It will all end up with the exact same game. That's why it was not worth getting worked up. We'll each have 3. It's very easy.
No, I'm just
there's no other show like this where we're consistently complaining about what we have to do.
Has that happened this year?
We're getting killed with that early slate situation.
All right, I got New England at Buffalo, and it is Buffalo. Woo-wee! We got a college spread here. They're giving 13.5.
That is absurd to me.
Is it, though?
How the Patriots' defense is played?
The idea here, and I am fully on board with it, is that the Buffalo Bills are at home in a have-to-have-it game. This is not a trap game. This is the Bills know they cannot mess around here, and they know they got the Dolphins next week. They survived that little slip-up against the Chargers, and so they had that type of game, and they got away with it after, you know, finding ways to lose earlier in the season. So the idea here is, I get it, Belichick and the defense has been competitive this year, but the Bills, when they are operating at a high level at home, I could just see them going off here. And I think the spread actually is fair. And I think the Bills are the great mystery to me of the season because, and you know, no one, ooh, I can't bring it up, certain things that hardware that's handed out at award shows. Josh Allen truly was the big winner last week because all of a sudden he could be in that conversation with a strong finish, but they got to get to the playoffs first and they got to win these games. So it's all in front of the Bills. They could be in 2 weeks' time, they could be the most disappointing team in football this year, and really the most disappointing team in the last couple of years, I think, in the NFL. If this thing went a certain way and they missed the dance, or they can go in like a house on fire and the team that people are picking to go to the Super Bowl, and it wouldn't seem crazy. So a lot to be figured out around Buffalo right now.
I think it's a huge difference to win the division, and we'll get to that. And they have to, you know, hope the Dolphins lose this week to get there. But it's such a huge difference. I think even going in as a 2 or 3 seed and going in as a 6 or 7, it's just so hard to be the 6 or 7. They're playing a team that handled them earlier in the year. Certainly Mac Jones's best game of the year. He's long gone. Bailey Zappi's coming off his best game of the year. This defense still like not consistent. The Bills defense and like don't have a consistent enough pass rush. Von Miller, you know, what a disastrous season he's had. with the arrest, but for the Bills, that he just, I don't think it's coming. It's, he just isn't going to make an impact. So you need your offense to score 30, 40 points. He used to do that reliably against the Patriots defense. And I tend to think you're right, Dan, that they can do it again. This Patriots defense is good, but let's not get carried away. They're like, they're a good defense. They're not a like unstoppable defense. They can still give up like 290-yard drives to Russell Wilson in a big spot, you know, when it matters.
No, I'm not saying that there's something that special about their defense, but it's been consistent. It's been pretty consistent.
It's
The Bills under McDermott, I think these kind of things matter. Like they're 17-2 in December and January regular season play. Like they close seasons well. I think they understand through all the chaos that's unfurled inside and outside the building. You know, it's been a weird year. Last year was a weird year for the Bills. 2 years in a row in a weird way. They have to take care of business, and they will. And there's no reason to expect. There's no element to New England that suggests an upset. Like Ramondre Stevenson's been put on IR. I think that they looked explosive on offense against the Broncos for the first time in like 1,000 eons. Do I trust that that's who they are for the next 2 weeks? No.
No, the Bills, the money line is pretty wild here. Minus 800. At least Christian Barmore is playing like a standout defensive.
Very good.
Always believed in that guy.
Three sacks last week.
But it's really been great for the second half of the season. So at least there's one nice young player. They have like none.
Yeah.
They have so few.
They got a lot of work to do. And
he is one.
And it's going to be a vitally important draft coming up. Who's going to be in charge of that draft? We don't know. A great stat here from the research team. We'll go out on that on this with this game. With a win versus the Pats in week 17, the Bills will have 10 wins or more for the fifth straight season. Roberts, how old are you? How old are you, Eric Roberts?
I actually just turned 32 years old.
Happy birthday, baby boy.
Yeah, sweet. A young-looking 32.
Our beautiful mustachioed boy, Eric Roberts, is 32, so the end of his 20s, early 30s, he's known nothing but 10 win seasons or more. Buffalo, for all the other years, pretty much, of Eric's life, for most of them, had zero such seasons of 10-plus wins from 2000 to 2018. So Sean McDermott, much maligned in certain corners of blogosphere. Yeah,
like no one even remembers
he arrived in 2017. Do the math. He's been part of the rise.
Guys,
but
my niece and nephew only know Josh Allen.
There you go.
What a life.
Yeah, it's nice. I'll tell you what I know. I know pain.
I want to tell you one thing about Eric. Like, I went to my desk.
Yes.
I'm sure this occurred. If it happened to only me, that would be very noticeable. But like a really nice Christmas card from Eric, handwritten. Who's doing that anymore? Like my grandmother's the last person that sent me things like that. So
The great Sean Kelly also.
Sean Kelly sent us handwritten
notes, but that's very nice, Eric.
That's
you guys all should have gotten a note. If not. Yeah.
That would be awesome if you only sent to one.
I took theirs to compare what you said to me versus them. But that's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I've not been to my desk this week. Just come straight here.
I'll be checking in on that and reading it closely to see if there's any differences in the letters. That goes back to me, and I guess I'm going to toss this over to Sestog. Enjoy the Falcons at the Bears.
No, I think it's me. Well, we'll figure it all out afterwards.
Okay. That's not where it's going. It's not going in my direction.
I'm throwing this hot potato to somebody.
You're not throwing it to me.
Falcons at Bears. The Falcons keeping their playoff hopes alive just barely with that win over the Colts. A decisive win. So, you know what, Greg? It's like if you're going to ask me to try to figure out what version of the Falcons are going to get it this week, you're going to the wrong guy. I don't think anybody really knows. But they have an opponent that also is a bit hard to decipher right now. So this could be a close game. It could have could go in a lot of different directions, put it that way.
It does feel like a bit of a coach off, like a hot seat off. Next week's Falcons Saints feels possibly like a loser gets their job potentially. If the Falcons won these 2 weeks, they have a reasonable chance to make it. Either as the division winner or the wild card, almost 50-50, about 38% chance if they won both of them. So it's not too late for them to save their job. The Bears have been the number one defense in EPA per play allowed since week
six. How about that?
Since week six. That's a pretty long timeline here. And I think these games really matter for Eberflus. If they have the Packers next week, like if they could knock out the Packers. I mean, if they win these two games, I don't think there's any chance Eberflus is gone. So it does matter for these two coaches, I think.
I mean, I think if you want to make an argument for Eberflus, it's like
Eberflus,
what he's meant to be good at, they're good at. And I would also even say for the front office, like the Montez Sweat trade wasn't just a vanity move. Like, it's absolutely worked. He fits into their defense. They've been really good on that side of the ball. I'm looking at the entire league and I'm like, are the Falcons the most disappointing team in the NFL, considering where I thought, what I thought they would be back in August? There's some competition.
I mean, how could a team that has Desmond Ridder, the quarterback, be the most disappointing team in the NFL?
I thought personally, depends how much you're I thought buying. Personally that they were going to kind of do something that got a lot of talk.
Bengals are up there for me.
But Bengals are injury based.
Yeah, but it's, to me, it's not. They were disappointed with Burrow, and I think they'd be disappointing with him still. But you're right. Patriots are up there. The Bills need to finish strong, but they have a potential to be up there. But you're right. There aren't many better.
I'm saying for Arthur Smith, it's like, what is your selling point? It's like, you're in that
Patriots,
world
Chargers.
Of like deep Chargers. Chargers. And so we know what happened to that coach. It's like, I'm just saying Arthur Smith's resume here is rough, rugged.
Last test for that running attack against such a good run defense. It's not a bad game. I'll take it. I'll take it. It's a final chance for the Bears. Home favorites, -3 and -155.
That? Per Next Gen Stats, the Bears currently less than a 1% chance to make the playoffs. If they win, though, Greg, in Week 17, Chicago's playoffs chances jump to 1%. So it goes from less than 1% to 1%.
They will probably be eliminated this
data
week.
Point.
What does that mean, though? Like artillery would need to fall on like four other organizational buildings. Like, how do you get in with a 1% chance to make the playoffs?
There is a path in week 18.
Well, yeah, they're not eliminated. They would need a 1,000.
Be incredible to see.
A lot of things would need to happen here.
All right. Anything else?
No.
Gang.
We've said it all.
All right. This is...
we're going to have like a 15-minute post-show draft to figure out.
A draft after the draft? Yes, that's coming up for us, but that's private, and you don't need to be involved with that, and you don't want to be involved with that. But remember, triple header, TNF, Browns, Jets, Dreamatorium with me and Greggy. Where's Mark? Another trip to the Crentist. Remember, need that call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.